This call is being recorded.
Yes, now we are recording. Okay, so the agenda has four points for today. The first topic is talking about the possibility of writing a statement of mission, a statute for a possible open source organization. This topic was suggested by Lorenzo. Think it's somehow related to Google Summer of Code activity, am I correct?
Yes, in the context of Google Summer of Code, we need actually some sort of public front end to actually interact with our peers and with other organizations. So I thought that possibly besides the activity of the development group that is actually the core activity of at the moment, like designing the specs and making everything right. Besides that, we may actually try to create an open source organization, or as a direct creation of the community group, or otherwise as a parallel activity just dedicated to actually communicating the activity and delivering what is Hydra and the activities carried on by the Hydra community group to the public. So the first step should be, in my opinion, to actually have some sort of a statute that is actually just a simple list of objectives, basically, and means dedicated to meet these objectives. This is actually necessary because people always ask, especially in the context of Google Summer of Code, you are an organization, you are somehow present in the open source world. How can we know more about what you're doing and things like that? So if you can visit the draft, click on the link to the draft, we can actually try to write down something collaboratively, so that for the next season of Google Summer of Code that will start in February, at the end of January and the beginning of February, we will actually be more formally organized into an open source organization that can this way relate with other organizations in a transparent manner, but also interact with other actors in the field that could be I don't know, like companies interested in using the draft, or contributors, or anybody interested in knowing more and getting in touch with the activity of the community group. If you want, we can actually take a look to the draft, and I don't know, collect some ideas. And I mean, first thing, what do you think about actually organizing the force into a more formal kind of association or organization?
Well, I read your draft, and But I don't really have anything to complain about what you propose. Maybe I'm kind of skeptical. There is one part where it said paragraph 3.2, where it says, you know, you mentioned donations, contributions, additional source of income whenever there's money, licensing fees. Well, this is going to be hairy. But as much as this point in general, if we start, you know, I don't know, you base this on the R Foundation, I see. Anything like that feels that's, you know, we are going on a legal ground, which I don't really understand what the implications are. For now, it's kind of free form. So we just collaborate, edit a spec, implement stuff. That's all we need. That's all we want. And we are, after all, a community group within W3C. So that probably has some weight in itself. So, like I said, I don't really oppose. This is kind of generic. This is not really verbose, so that's good. Maybe some details. But then, I do not understand the legal ramifications of having such a statute. And I would like someone to...
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I actually asked for collaboration also in this sense. One of the reasons that actually we are asked by the students and by Google to actually have this kind of more formal kind of, association or whatever, organization or however we want to call it, because basically we could receive donation from Google based on what we do at the Summer of Code. So basically, at the end of the Summer of Code, as the project are accepted, Google provides with donation to all the organizations involved based on the number of projects, the number of students. And in the past years, like the first years, we were under the umbrella of the Python Software Foundation. So basically, the donation went directly to the Python Software Foundation. Last year, we were actually instead, we applied as Python Hydra, as a first class organization, as Python Hydra, like as a spin-off of the Python Software Foundation. And so basically we were entitled with something like $3,000 of donations, and we couldn't collect it. And the standard procedure was that these 3,000 were donated to a charity directly by Google. The fact is that we could use this money to maintain our costs. We have like a cloud infrastructure that now we are paying by ourselves. We have a Travis, we have a continuous integration pipeline that by now we are actually sustaining by ourselves. So actually collecting this this donation could actually contribute pretty substantially to our activity. And also this would be actually used in the case of, until now, all these activities have been self-funded by the students. For example, we had like a student presenting at PyCon India this year. He went there completely, he's a mentor actually, not a student. He went there completely self-funded. So he paid the trip from himself and so on. The same thing for the I went to the Google Mentor Summit, and again I had to fund the trip by myself. All this Google already allocates money for this activity for the organization. If we don't have a formal way of actually receiving this donation just go to a charity. And we cannot really leverage these resources for instead actually improving the quality of the cloud service we provide, improving the quality of our mentorship and things like that.
Well, two things from that I have to mention here. So, you say about student expenses and your expenses that you've had running the Hypermedia APIs or the Hydra, Hydra ecosystem. And so if we turn Hydra Community Group into a foundation that can legally receive money, it will also be subject for, so it will, I think you maybe see what I'm going with this. It will become Hydra Community Group's money to, and then we may have our costs as well. So currently Hydra has been also beforehand mainly run by Marcus. So Marcus pays for the server. We can change that, use some free infrastructure, right, which is available. But otherwise, this will not be money freely available to Google Summer of Code for your Google Summer of Code activities. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it sounds like you may be pushing a little bit of your private agenda, which is fine. I'll be happy to support that. But then it will be also always subject, any proposed expense will be subject to the community scrutiny, which can also backfire. Right. I mean, question, because I don't really feel the need like you have for a formal presence of Hydra, other than the, well, being the community group under the W3C umbrella. Have you pursued the same outside of Hydra? It's just making the Hydra ecosystem itself this kind of foundation that you can use privately as the student group to run your activities?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these are all questions that comes from the students and the mentors. I mean, I'm not really, this is not really my private agenda, because it's like the mentors that are actually contributing for now 2 years are actually asking why we cannot make use of the money we received from Google Summer of Code. And actually asked me, please, Lorenzo, represent this position, that is our position, to the chair. Yeah, that is true. I mean, we could actually organize our association on our own, but still we wanted to have your opinion about it, because we are using
Is it just me, or is Lorenzo breaking up a little bit now?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
I didn't hear any of the last minute or so. Last 30 seconds.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's actually the mentors and the students that are actually asking me to represent their wish of actually receiving the Google Summer of Code donation to leverage the resources in a way that they can actually be better representing and better presenting their work at to the open source world. We could actually create an association that is like Hydra ecosystem, but we still would like to actually know from you, I mean, have backing for from the community group, and have some sort of close interaction with the spec designer, because it happens often that we have no we cannot really explain what is the possible evolution of the specs, what the spec design is, what the spec designers are working for, how the engineering of the specs goes on, and things like that. So this is actually, I mean, it's our wish to present these needs, and if in any way you are interested in collaborating, in taking the next steps, it would be good. I mean, in any case, yeah, if everything would be under audit and I mean completely under audit of whatever community organ we decide to set up.
Okay, maybe I'll ask, because we are quite long on this topic. Because we've heard, let's say, advantages of having this open source organization, but I do not know what would be deliverables that we need to provide, or responsibilities, because this feels quite formal. There are some money on the table, so
absolutely. That's why I wanted just to start the discussion, because I know that is can be and should be a pretty long kind of process, or time-consuming process. That's why we wanted at least to start this discussion. And for sure, we don't want to actually push on this sense. Or that's why we wanted to open the discussion to. To the board in the conference call.
Well, like I say, a statute itself, so a charter or whatever you want to call it, you know, it written down, we can adhere to it, we don't have to, it's just written words better than no word, but then it's really not really that much binding unless, like you say, we start taking money. Yeah. When money comes into play, it's all different world, which I can give you an example from my local community. I co-run a .NET group, and for the reason of, you know, financial difficulties, we have not set up a foundation or like a nonprofit so that we can receive sponsor money, that kind of thing, because it's just a lot of work and a lot of legal issues we might bump into. And now this is getting even more difficult, because we are in an international environment. And as much as I say let's do it, I would definitely cover some of the costs that running Hydra will have. Like Uber conference has been paid by Marcus, so sure, even if it's a few dollars a month, why not use some of sponsor money if there is such available. But I would really like to get some legal advice on this. I can offer reaching out to open API initiative to get some advice. I kind of feel that we may not be there yet. I know it took a bit longer. I think it took longer for Swagger to become open API and start really being a legal entity. But sure, if there's a need for it, and also we can take the advantage of it, then in principle, I'm for it.
I agree.
We need to collect more information about the legal part. I absolutely agree.
Okay, because we've spent quite a lot of time on this topic. Can I ask you, Lorenzo, for a brief on both, let's say, advantages and disadvantages? I don't know, the responsibilities or legal implications, if you know them, because it's not an easy decision on whether to go that way or not, and we need to know in details what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. About the, we can actually remove your registration and license fees because we don't really need that. But in the case of donations, basically, Google requires a treasurer to be appointed. So it can be also like a normal person, like not strictly a juridic entity. I mean, but I mean in UK, for example, this is pretty. That is usually one of the easiest. That is one of the most straightforward, easiest incorporation law. It can be done by something called an unregistered association, in which just few members can actually agree on a statute, and actually. Use the association for their associative objectives.
Mm-hmm.
So
can I ask you to start the thread on?
I didn't understand the question. Probably sorry.
No. Can you please start a thread on the mailing list with let's say a list of advantages, disadvantages, responsibilities, benefits, or legal requirements known to you. More or less.
I posted a link on Slack.
Can you post it again on the mailing list or something more durable?
Yeah. Okay. So on the mailing,
I know Slack. I'm using Slack, but actually I missed this part, or maybe I just didn't look.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Just. Okay, I can see some link. Okay, so I think this could be a summary of this conversation. As Tomasz already said, there is no harm in working on this stage of Hydro Community Growth. It's, as he said, it's a word that could be written. As for decisions, we'll need to think it carefully and gather more details. So it would be a summary of this topic. Can we proceed to another one? Okay, I do not hear any voices. So the topic would be to discuss relation between HydroCore and triple pattern fragments. I'm pleased to see Ruben and Miel. Nice to have you guys.
Hello.
Yep.
Long time no hear.
Yes, indeed. Shall I start with a short introduction? Would that be okay?
Sure, of course.
Yeah. So what I would plan to do is a short history of what has happened, because all of this has been years ago, and also maybe some parts on how we see the future, and we can maybe think of how doing things together or not. I mean, we're very open. So we're Ruben and Miel, both working at Ghent University IMAC, and we've been doing hypermedia driven APIs for quite some time, I think since 2011-12. And I mean, when Marcus was doing Hydra, it was clear that we were doing similar things, so I spent a lot of time talking to him. And our main goal is like to query the web. So we want a client that's smart enough to execute queries across APIs. That's always been our goal, and it still is, even though you haven't heard from us for quite a long time. So now, how did TPF and LDF end up with Hydra? Well, actually, I went up to Marcus in 2014 to explain the whole idea behind LDF. And I said, look, we're using Hydra technology. And I basically asked him for advice. I said, look, we won the W3C community. How did it work for Hydra? And it was Marcus explaining to us that, well, actually, he said, I would rather have you guys join the Hydra group than create something new, because together we can be stronger. So the original idea of joining those groups was by Marcus Lantaler. And since that moment, we've written specs for TPF-LDF, and they've been published in the Hydra group. So what was agreed back then, but I'm not saying we have to keep an agreement, is that Hydra would be an open group with multiple specs, one of them being the Hydra core vocabulary, and the others being TPF-LDF, and maybe other things in the future. So this explains how we got where we've gotten so far. Now, what does this mean for Hydra? Well, actually, without boasting too much, the majority of Hydra interfaces out there are actually TPF interfaces. Like, our TPF spec uses Hydra, and we've got a couple of hundreds of thousands interfaces that use it. So, and they're all using Hydra. So in that sense, we're probably the largest users of the Hydra vocabulary, just to give you an idea of scale. But that, again, that doesn't mean that we have to stay in the group. So the main question which I'm coming into this is, like, does it make sense for TPF-LDF to still be under the Hydra group or not? Now, before we get to that question, I might want to give you some background on our future plans as well. Because I know that we from the Ghent University IMAX side have been quiet recently in the group, but we actually have big funding and big projects to do hypermedia stuff. And I mean, our ambition for hypermedia hasn't changed. So by coincidence, I heard part of the first conversation about you looking for a foundation and so on. I mean, a possibility is that we, and I'm not saying we, I mean, Ghent University IMAC might want to be involved in this, might even want to sponsor this. But it all depends on how you see Hydra evolve. Like, we don't mean to influence Hydra core too much. We are interested in having a solid core with extensions that can serve all of us. But we're open to that. That said, since Hydra started, technology has changed. Like, a couple of things got standardized, such as shapes and so on. So we might need to wonder whether Hydra is still the Hydra core is still the right thing to do. So I think, I mean, basically what I'm proposing, and I'll stop speaking very soon, is that maybe, like, all of us interested in hypermedia, maybe we should just all take some time to really organize a small workshop and physically sit together and talk about the future of hypermedia descriptions in general. And we would be very happy to host or to help in any way we can. Because, like I said, we have serious plans with hypermedia. We've got quite a lot of money from the Belgian government and others to invest in this. And we would love to do this under Hydra. But just, like, it's an open hand. If you guys want to work together, let's figure out how to do that. If you guys say we rather want to focus on Hydra core and not too much, then let's look at a clean way to split. So up to you guys.
Okay. So I have no issues with having triple pattern fragments under Hydra. Maybe our last action, which was closing some of triple pattern fragments issues related as obsolete, was, or maybe did make that such an impression, but it was not our point. So until you are on board, we can work all together with either Hydra core or triple pattern fragments or any other specification that you are interested in. Just having in mind this distinction which already you've mentioned, so we don't want to influence Hydra core too much to make it, let's say, agnostic or technology agnostic, but as I said, I have no issues with having you on board. If that was the impression,
no worries. I mean, like, there's no offense taken or whatever. It's just like the closing of the issues was a good sign for hey, we need to talk about this. That's all it is. So no worries.
Yeah, and in some way, I mean, I get that the activity in the community group is about a bit on the low side at the moment. So I guess that taking up free specs in the group is at the moment maybe too much to handle. But then again, I don't see a problem with TPF-LDF being idle for the time being. And of course, we both agree that the way that the issues are handled now. So now they are mixed, and I don't think that anybody has objections with splitting that, because it's quite confusing. But whether, I mean, I would keep the specs in Hydra for now until we have some kind of better option. And indeed, discussing this in person eventually would, of course, help. But of course, it also depends on what is going to happen with the community group. How many people are really still active, and how much effort can be spent on the relation between core and maybe LDF, TPF, or is it better to take LDF somewhere else so everybody can focus on that one spec according to the effort that is currently present? So I can understand both options. I don't really have a main preference for that at the moment.
So, hence, I think if I understand you correctly, my proposal earlier for not really splitting, taking you guys away from Hydra Community Group, not at all. We can host much more than just one spec under the community group itself. But rather, like I said, creating a separate repository for you where anything that's speculated or not necessarily influencing Hydra itself, or at least not immediately, you would govern yourselves with your own set of issues, with your own velocity. And then we would collaborate through issues all the same. But it would just give a clear boundary. Currently, unless you really look at the homepage, it says it gives a nice right in the middle. It says about linked fragments, but otherwise, you cannot. It's not that accessible, so you cannot really, you know, discover about LDF that well. If you had your own space, maybe that would give you a bit more freedom and also visibility.
No, I think that's great. And if I remember correctly, that was always the intention. Like Marcus said, let's start with one mailing list, because we also have a mailing list address that redirects to the main mailing list. That's our one mailing list, one repository, and if it gets too big, we will split. I think we've reached that point. That said, the LDF and TPF specs are also very stable, so we don't expect too many changes anymore for the next couple of years anyways. So a separate repository and moving the issues, we're already happy with. So that's a good first step, but I would also like to go beyond. But maybe I should first let some other people speak.
Well, as for new spec being stable, it probably doesn't hurt to make it just create your own space already, even if it's not going to be really active. As for the issues there, which we have. A few of those that have been closed in the last 2 weeks. As much as in any open source community, we've closed, so myself and Carl, we looked at some of them, Carl, and closed some that have not been really active for a long time, which may indicate a lack of interest, as it sometimes happens. If any of those are still important for you guys, then I guess, and then again, collaboration probably is the key here.
Well, maybe I would propose to move all issues with the tag linked data fragments to the new repository, even the old and the closed ones, and then that repository can decide for itself what's going to happen with them, right?
Yeah, very well, very well. I mean, my point, well, bottom line is that some of the issues may actually require changes to Hydra spec once we agreed on what kind of changes we need. So, but they will not be closed without your interaction. So without your proposals for what you need and how you see it implemented, we would still be just closing them, like I say, until there's action on your end.
No, that sounds good, but feel free to move them to us. And if it seems that there's also some Hydra core action needed, then we will open a new issue for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds perfect, given us a clear.
I guess just to be clear, this also means that in this call, there will be no talk about LDF TPF issues anymore, right? I mean, not this specific call, of course, but I mean the series of calls. This also implies a separate conf call.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. Okay, but let's say I personally, Carlos speaking, I personally do not know that much about triple pattern fragments. I know where it is used. I don't know the details of the specifications, so I won't be able to help you much with the issues. But again, we can have triple pattern fragments and other specifications related topics within the agenda. It's just a matter of any of you guys just adding it to the agenda. So as Tomasz said, without the collaboration, there will be no chance to discuss other than Hydra core vocabulary matters.
And as for the call itself, it is still called Hydra CG Uber
Conference. Exactly. So I have no issues with discussing not Hydra core related issues, but still in Hydra community group.
Good. Well, I think that settles this part. Then, Noel being on the call, I would also like to extend on my other proposal that I had. I hope you don't mind me being blunt. But like, I mean, for me, like, I've been very active in the beginning years of Hydra CG, but then I lost track. And I think things were also a bit slow because of Marcus's declining in involvement. But like, as I said, we really want to do things with hypermedia, and we think Hydra is a good way. At the same time, the world has changed quite a bit since the initial spec, but the spec hasn't changed that much. So we would like to extend an open invitation to get all the people together, and like physically if possible, virtually otherwise, to really like start understanding how do we want to use hypermedia, what are the goals we need, and just as a check to see, is Hydra core still up to date? Is this what we need, or do we need major changes? Like, I think we now have the momentum to really think through whether what we have is what we need, and maybe have very open discussions about that. So we would be very happy to host in Ghent, but I see that two of you are from Poland. We'd also be equally happy to send a couple of people to Poland. We would just really like to make something like this happen because we want to discuss about hypermedia at scale. Is there any interest for this in the group, and should I start an email thread on this, or what do you guys think?
I would be more than happy to visit Ghent. Never been to Belgium, so why not? But of course, as always, you mentioned possible university funding. Otherwise, if you were to organize this in Poland, we do not currently have any backing, so that would make that much more difficult. But we can start by discussing, like you say, send the open invitation.
Okay.
Anything that pushes us forward.
Carl speaking. Is it possible for you, Ruben, to, let's say, set up or create a brief of an agenda of such a meeting?
Absolutely. You know, I will prepare just an email thread. I'll send out a message this week. You all think about it. I just want to send a signal that like we're really invested in this, even though you haven't heard from us in a long time. So you'll see an email message pass by. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll assign an action point to you. Is that okay with you? Okay.
Perfect, yes.
Cool. Can I proceed with the agenda? Are we done with this topic, or do you want to add anything?
No, I think everything has been said. So we create a new repository, and we'll start from there.
Okay. So as for the issues that were closed, I've already reopened one of the issues due to demand of one of the community member. I have no reason not to reopen any other closed issues that are related to linked data. Linked data pattern. Anyway, I'm just expecting you guys to contribute to those issues so they are not abandoned or inactive. So just if you want to reopen any of those issues, I have labeled them so we can easily find them. I can reopen them without any effort, and then just collaborate to resolve them in any way, this or the other way.
Yeah, we probably need an action point for the migration as well.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I think we still need proper access to the GitHub community, the GitHub organization. So this action may still have to be put on hold for a while.
Yeah, indeed. We do not have full privileges on the GitHub. I'll try to chase Marcus in that matter. Any suggestions on the repo repository name? TPF, just like this?
Oh, we don't need to decide this right now. And we can always rename.
Okay. Okay, sure. Okay. So moving on with the agenda. Next topic would be a brief update on actions from last call. So just to summarize, as I was already said, there were 16 issues closed as obsolete. Don't mind the word, it was the best fitting to this bunch of issues. Some of them were actually abandoned, some of them were really obsolete, some of them were... I don't know what were they. It was just meaningless. Anyway, these were closed. One was already reopened. As I said, there is always an option to reopen any of the issues or create new ones. I think it was just due to make the issues board or dashboard a bit cleaner, so we can focus on those things that are more urgent. And there was actually not 12 as listed in the agenda, but 11 issues. Let's say there is an attempt to resolve them. You've probably noticed a bunch of pull requests within the specs repository. And these changes are to address those 11 issues. Resolution or agreement met. So this is a summary of the actions from last call. I think there was one more action related to automation of minutes, of creating minutes from the cold calls. I don't know, Tomas, do you want to say anything in that matter?
Well, I don't really, I'm not sure if we want to bore the other guys on call with stuff. So I was kind of thinking in terms of the group, if there's things administrative regarding the community group, is this also subject to open discussion without like unconditionally? So what I propose is, but none of you would know, the conference calls has then a few steps following to send out the minutes and publish them on the website. So I just submitted a pull request to the minutes repository. Let me send you the link now. Which instead of doing the work manually, pretty much automates. then we could have this automatically published I'm on my own fork. I published this to Netlify, which is the most automatic way we can do it. And then, I know you feel free to have a look at the pull request, but I'm just wondering how much of interest it is to the average attendee at a call.
Okay, so moving on to another point of the agenda, discuss open pull request. We have 10 minutes left. So there are 6 pull requests ongoing. Is there any one specific you would like to discuss, or is there anything it need to intervention? I can see that there was some discussions related to untyped links. As Bjorn joined the conversation. Okay, I see that there's no friction within this topic. Okay, does anyone else has anything to add? We have still some minutes left, so if you guys have something to discuss.
So I've actually been thinking about pull requests, these or any future ones. I don't think we've ever formalized how they are being reviewed. So we've had a bit more interactive reviews and more discussion on Heraclius pull requests. But on the spec itself, I guess it would have been, well, not really a one-man show, but formerly it was always pretty much mostly Marcus. Well, that may not be fair. Ruben was also a bit more active on GitHub earlier, but I was kind of thinking to make this more strict with requirement for reviews, add more people to the GitHub community once we have the permissions on the organization. I know. What do you guys say? I mean, probably would need a few people so that there's some redundancy. So Ruben and Miel, well, you're on the call right now, and Lorenzo as well. Is anyone of you up to commit to also reviewing the progress so that we can have, for example, mandatory tool reviewers in the future, anything like that? What do you think about that?
That's fine with me, yes. You can always assign me reviews.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I prefer that the pull requests are not reviewed only by me and Tomasz. I prefer more people to go through it and just take a note or state their suggestions. We don't want it to be actually in this case two-man show.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I guess in the end, if there's no one else interested in any of the pull requests, I would say we should just be merging them if there's no objection.
Right.
Following first, I think. I know. How was it? I don't really remember. How was it in the past? In the past, the community was more running through the mailing list, so there was no real review and workflow being enforced on GitHub. So Ruben, you're probably the best person to answer how it was always through the a call for, what was it called, a call for agreement on the mailing list, correct? Ruben?
I think it was a call for consensus.
Ah, call for consensus, correct. So my best guess would be to, if there are no reviewers and no reviews asking for changes, neither or in other case no reviews at all, we would be sending a call for consensus or call for comments, request for comments on the mailing list. And then if there's at that point, if there's no one speaking up, we would be merging within an agreed time frame to keep things running, something like that.
Yeah, I think that works quite well compared to other groups.
What do you mean compared to other groups? As in, how does it work or doesn't work in other groups?
Other groups do this as well. So at a certain point, you have to do this.
Right, because in the end, I think, this is maybe what did cause Hydra's demise in the last years. So it's a lot of discussion, but not that much execution. And so then people lost interest, and then there needs to be some driving force. Even if we're making the wrong turns, we can always straighten that back. But if we're not moving at all, then people will think Hydra dead, and there probably have been those comments already about Hydra.
No, Hydra is not dead.
So feel free to assign an action to me. I will also, probably reiterate what I just said and send it to the list as well.
Could you repeat this? What kind of action should I assign to you?
I'll try to come up with, I will repeat in an email what I said about how we want to proceed with pull requests. Require reviewers and then sending the request for comments in close if there are if there's no negative feedback.
Okay. Okay, action is assigned. I think we're almost at the time frame limit, so I think we could call it a day and finish the conference call. Is there anyone else that wants to add something?
No, thank you for having the discussion.
Okay, so
thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much for attending the conference call. I'm happy to see that we are not alone with Tomasz, and I hope to see more of you guys joining the conference calls and the community. What else? The rumors of Hydra's death are a bit premature, so I hope we will revive from ashes and we'll work hard on the spec, on the tooling, etc., etc. Anything. Anyway, thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Have a nice day. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you guys. Bye bye.